Hey everyone, I'm interrupting this episode because I want to tell you about a free masterclass that I'm hosting. I'm constantly hearing from motion designers and studio owners that they just don't have the time to work on their businesses. And I get it, it's hard to wear all the hats in your business and stay on top of everything. When the project ends, do you find yourself scrambling for the next gig on LinkedIn or sending a ton of cold emails? This just isn't sustainable in the long run. I found that building systems and processes in my business to free up my time was the best way to grow a business and have more time to do the things that I love. It's not easy, but I want to share with you what I've learned over the past few years and also what I've been teaching my students in my courses. So I'm hosting a free masterclass on the 21st of May for freelance motion designers and studio owners who are looking for more balance. After Balance Business Masterclass, you're going to walk away with a system to help you save time, make more money, and work on fun and creative projects. Of course, I'll also be doing a live Q&A to answer any questions that you have. And I'm going to invite just 20 people to work with me inside my coaching program, Balance Business Bootcamp. This won't open again until later this year. So if you want to get access to that and you want to join us in this free masterclass, then go and find the link in the show notes to register or go to motionhatch.com/pod. Hope to see you in there. Now let's get back to this episode.
If you want to serve a community, it's our job not just to create the content itself, but to dig into their communities, find out where they talk about the issues, communicate them, engage them on social media and ask questions. Because unless you know what the issues are, what the problem they want to solve. I say problem because in our design community, we tend always to find a problem to solve. You know, if you want to help your niche to overcome the issues and help them to basically enhance the level of their communication.
Hey Hatchlings, welcome to the Motion Hatch podcast. I'm your host, Hayley Akins. I spoke with one of my accelerator students, Giuseppe Forestieri, about how he niched down his animation studio to help organizations working in nature conservation. If you've ever asked the question, should I niche down as a designer, or how do I find my ideal client on niche, then continue listening to this podcast because we answer all these questions coming up. But before we jump in, you might be wondering, why is Hayley suddenly back for a podcast? And where have you been? Well, since October 2021, we've been putting a lot of effort into our weekly YouTube videos, giving you tips and advice around the business side of design and animation. So if you haven't checked out our channel yet, you should really go and have a look at our videos on how to price your work, how to scale your business, and also how to get clients, even if you're just starting out. So I hope to see you over in the comments on our YouTube channel. Hey Giuseppe, thank you so much for joining me.
Hi Hayley, thank you for inviting me.
So do you want to tell us a little bit about your background and what you do?
Yeah, definitely. So I have a background in visual communication. In particular, I'm specialized in illustration and animation. We as a studio are specialized in niching down in like nature conservation and animal welfare. So we basically combined our passion for nature and animals with our passion for creativity.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a really good mission. What made you choose that as a niche?
Over the years, I when I was working as a full-time employed in a studios, like I was producing general animations, and at some point although I was happy regarding the work I was doing, I felt that something was missing. You know, something. I wanted something that fulfilled me as a person, besides as a professional, as an animator. So I had to dig into my childhood, my passions, and trying to find give meaning to what I was doing as an animator, as a studio. And so I wanted to combine. For example, I'm a lover and of outdoor sports like snowboarding, kitesurfing. I grew up in a farm in Italy, so I kind of like loved that in a way that even though it was part of me, it wasn't entirely, because I wanted to make it my work. giving the reason why I wake up in the morning happy to do my job.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel like that. And I think one of the struggles is obviously I hear from a lot of designers and animators that they want to do something around, you know, maybe sustainability or environmental causes and things like that, which I think is incredible. We've talked a lot about it before. But I think what's interesting about the niche that you chose is because you went a little bit deeper than that. Do you think that's helped you to get a bit more clear about who your clients are?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I strongly believe that niching down, I don't think that everybody should niche down, but in my case, it did work because I wanted to help organizations. I wanted to help universities promoting their research, their reports in a different way. You know, these communities, this sector, generally use some like traditional way of communicating their stories, promote their research. So through my character animation, full of like colors, I help them to engage the audience, engage people in a different way. And to be honest, with the organization I work with, they loved the way I engage the audience with my stories through visuals. So definitely for me, it helped me to nail down and to focus on something I care about. And therefore, my clients see that throughout my work.
So you're talking about how the universities felt like they obviously had an issue of getting their research out there. Is that something that you actively thought about before you kind of went after these clients, is how to target them and maybe what problems they had that you could solve through animation?
Yeah, this is a really good question because, you know, if you want to serve a community, it's our job not just to create the content itself, but to dig into their communities, find out where they talk about the issues, communicate them, engage them on social media and ask questions. Because unless you know what the issues are, what the problem they want to solve. I say problem because in our design community, we tend always to find a problem to solve, you know. And so if you want to really engage, if you want to really help them, you need to find out what they need. And speaking to them, going to like networking meetings where they talk about the issues, it's always valuable if you want to help your niche to overcome the issues and help them to basically try to enhance the level of their communication.
Yeah, that makes sense. So do you actively go to events and stuff like that? Is that the main way you're finding clients in this niche, or is there some other ways as well?
Yeah, looking at the recent past period, I would say that I started again after the pandemic. You know, as you know, we've been 2 years locked down home, so it was tricky to networking. So I attended quite a few online networking events. While in the past I was just going like in general networking event, now I'm really focused on this community to my niche, because I think it's more valuable for us as a studio to find the people we want to help. So I would say it's 50% is like through LinkedIn. We use LinkedIn as a powerful platform to reach out, try to connect to people, engage in conversations. And then we also promote quite a lot of like animations, for example, for awareness days, like related to nature conservation. We tend to create content that are related to this niche. And then people are attracted by our content and then reach us to us. So I would say 50% goes through social media and 50% through networking, either online or in person.
Yeah, I know we've discussed this a lot in our accelerator as well, but it sounds like it's almost like half doing the inbound marketing side of things, like you're saying, like posting stuff out there that's related to what maybe people are looking for, and then also communicating with them on their posts and things like that. And then half almost like this going to events, direct outreach sort of strategy. Would you say that's accurate? And is there anything that I've maybe missed out from there that you would advise people to do if they're looking to connect with their ideal client?
I would say that the main point is to offer value, you know, offering value on without expecting nothing in return. If you offer something to your audience, to your community, on a genuine base, eventually they will notice you, and then they will contact you with like opportunities, you know, even though they might not lead to like a project. It's always a way that, you know, if you connect with people, eventually people will introduce you to other people, and this is how it works, basically.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to do it, is try and offer value as much as you can. So if I'm a designer or animator and I'm starting out, I've identified a niche, what do you think the first step should be to giving value to someone who's in my ideal niche?
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to step backwards a little bit, because finding your niche is something that requires time. You know, it's at the beginning, it's kind of frustrating, because like talking about my story, at the beginning, I was frustrated because I knew that I wanted to do character animation. I knew I wanted to do explainer videos, but I didn't know how to apply those skills into something that had value. So finding my niche was a path. It takes time. So I would advise not to stress out about this. Just reach out. Just look at your passions. Look at what you love. Look at what you liked as a child. And then once you're there, offering value. Offering value means that, for example, when I realized I wanted to niche down to this specific sector, animal welfare and nature conservation, I started generally to offer my skills on a volunteer basis. And this really helped me in so many levels, because I didn't want something in return. But in the meantime, I received something, which was creating something good in for my portfolio, something that had value to me and to my, not my client, but the at that time was the Blue Cross. So it was valuable for them, because they were receiving something on a volunteer basis. And I was doing something that fulfilled me as a creative person, that could give me the creative freedom to do something I loved with. And that eventually, over the years, led to something which was actually paid for. So the Blue Cross reached out to me saying that they had a project for me. So I would always advise to work your skills and offer your skills in a way that might help others, because eventually people will notice this act of kindness in a way, and altruism, and then it will return to you in a good way.
Yeah, I think that's totally true. And I think one thing that people often struggle with is the fact that you said you did this volunteer animation piece for the Blue Cross like a few years ago, and then it didn't actually turn into a project with them until a couple of years later. So I kind of just wanted to point that out in a way, because I feel like a lot of the time everyone is expecting quick results and not really thinking about the long-term benefits of reaching out to these clients, you know, offering your services. So I just wondered what you kind of thought about that, and is that part of your, you know, strategy?
Yeah, in the first place was just something that I wanted to do because I wanted to give something back. But then you have to see this also as an investment of your time, because what means that doing a project for free, beside the good things about doing it? It means that the value that that piece of explainer video, in my case, that animation has over the long run, it's enormous, because you're basically putting together work which is relevant to your niche, which means that work, which was done completed for free, will lead to potential paid work, because it's, for example, at that time, I didn't have almost nothing related to nature conservation and animal welfare. So if you want to build a portfolio that is related to that, that people will be interested in your work, then that is a big investment you do. And as value, you know, to me, that's a lot of value, because it allows you to build up a portfolio relevant to what you want to do, basically.
Yeah, I think it's important as well to point out that when you have a clear idea of the kind of client that you really want to target, I think this is a great thing to do. And obviously, if you can go out there and you can get paid for a project to do the exact thing that you want to do, then you should do that. But it's not always possible. So although I would say, like, I never want people to work for free, I think if it's done in this kind of strategic way, where you're like, I have an idea of who I want to work for, and I also just want to help this cause, I think it's really good. And I think it's really smart. And I probably would advise people to do that. But I want to talk a little bit about, should you niche down straight away when you start freelancing?
Yes. And again, I'd like to step back, because as a, when you start your career, you know, I started as like an intern first, and then I moved to full time. And then I would start my career first of all in a studio. You know, I strongly advise that, because that will give you the possibility to learn a lot in terms of animation and technicality of the animation, but also if it will give you the opportunity to go to clients, to have like meetings with clients, learn about your colleagues as a project managers. These are all things that then when you go freelancer or you open up your own studio will come back useful, because it's something that, you know, we as motion designers at the beginning, we just care about, you know, learning new techniques, Cinema 4D, After Effects. But if you want to go and do your business on your own, you need to learn the other aspect of the businesses. And while working in a studio, you learn a lot from your colleagues and your clients as well. So to answer your question, I would say that it really depends where you are, in terms of if you know what you want. For me, it was a path. I needed to find what I wanted. I knew what I wanted after a while, I would say two or three. It took me 2 or 3 years to find out what I wanted, you know, because it's something that it doesn't come straight away. You don't wake up one day and say, you know, I love this. I want to do this. I want to make it my everyday job. So it really depends. If you're in a point that you love something that has a reason to you, then why not? You could straight away niche it down.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, and it kind of reminds me a bit of my story and Motion Hatch as well, because I think, like you said, it's not like you wake up one day and you think, this is what I'm going to do. This is definitely going to turn into a business and something that I can put all my time in and stuff like that. Like, it's almost like you have all of these different doors in front of you of opportunities, and you have to choose, you know, which ones you go down. And sometimes I feel like, you know, talking to a lot of our students as well, and some people in our accelerator, which obviously you're in too, is that's paralyzing, you know, having all these opportunities in front of you. So it'd be great to hear from you how you felt when you decided to, you know, because we've been working together on like your website and stuff like that, to niche it more down into nature conservation. So how does that feel to you? And does it scare you sometimes that maybe you're pushing other clients away?
So first of all, I would say that you have to embrace the uncomfortable. What I mean by that unless you are uncomfortable, you're not going to grow as a person and as a business. So you shouldn't really care about something that puts you in a situation where you don't feel prepared or something. You just need to dive into that. And eventually you will grow day by day and see the result. To answer your question related to if I was scared about pushing down some work, I say that if you decide to take this path, it's because you believe in it. If you believe in it, you are open to the fact that it's going to take time. You know, it's about seeding every day. You know, if you seed, you will see the plant, you will see the flowers in months. So it's natural that if you start something, it's going to take a little bit of time to take it the way you want. So be prepared and embrace the fact that it's something new, and then if you really believe in it, you're gonna see the results.
Yeah, that's great. So talking about results, have you made more money with your niche than you did as a general freelancer, let's say?
I would say it's more or less the same at the moment, because I started just like 1 year, 2 years ago to niching down. And then with your course, with the accelerator course, working with you, I'm also finding like some correction to go out and find the best way to make me and position myself in a way that it's like I'm the person for the job and helping for specific organization that need my help. So in that case, I would say it's the same at the moment. But I have to say that money is not my number one goal, you know, and I appreciate if some people money are the number one priority. But for me, it's the flexibility. For me, it's the fact that I'm fulfilled as a person And for me, it's important to give a meaning to what I do. So in that case, money is like, I would say, my third or fourth priority in the list. Don't get me wrong, I earn enough and it's good for what I'm looking at in terms of like to live my life the way I want. And that's, I'm completely satisfied. And again, it's going to be a progress, and it's always going to grow. And as it was when I first started my freelance career, I think in my first year, I made like 30K 6 years ago. And it has always grown every year has grown. So I don't see this as an issue, but I see this as a way of like seeing your business grow, and you grow along with it.
Definitely. I think it's really interesting that it's like a lot of the time, you know, people don't want to take a pay cut, but they want to move into a different area. So it's that idea of keeping it consistent, but building towards something that at some point I think will have an inflection point where you will become more well known in that space. And then that will enable you to make more money and potentially hire more people to help you and that kind of thing. Whereas if you stayed not niched down as more of a general freelancer, I think that potentially wouldn't give you as much income potential and as much of a kind of forward-thinking business strategy as this type of business.
Yes, definitely. You know, we as a studio, it's me as an animation director, and then I work with other professionals like copywriters, illustrators, motion designers. So it really depends on how busy we are. We always need the help of like specialized people in other expertise. We work with voiceover artists, and so we are a studio that. Thank you. In a way, you know, COVID brought a lot of bad things, but in a way, I'm a bit advocate of remote working, and the way I'm designing my business, Motion Aptitude, is the way I think many other businesses will do in the future. For Motion Aptitude, the way I see it in the future is a studio which is far from the conventional way of working, but which connect different people from all around Europe or the world that can help me to deliver the animation I like to deliver and to help my clients with their communication.
Yeah, that's great. So I want to ask you next about what your biggest struggle was when you started to niche down and how you overcame that problem.
Yes. Again, it goes down to understand how to highlight yourself and to be valuable to this specific community. So for me, it was a way of like reading books, going into email list, webinars, where these people, this community, were talking about the issues, about diversity, about animal welfare. So the issue was to understand where these people were in order to be there and present and speak to them and understand that. So as with everything new, you don't know how to start. But once I understood that, and I went to like LinkedIn groups, trying to connect and reach out to people, then people presented me and introduced me to like other colleagues or other experts in their field. And then it's all about connecting, you know, it's about the right connections. And I can't stress it enough and say that really people have the power to lead you to new opportunities, basically. So the answer is like to find the right place where the people you want to connect with are.
Yeah, definitely. And building those relationships over a long time as well, I think, and not just expecting the results to happen instantly. I think that's really important and something that I think you've done very well and continue to do as well.
The advice would be that in order to reach 100% and work 100% with your niche, while you do that, you can continue work with other, for example, other not related to your community work, you know, that can sustain you while you're reaching and trying to find the job you want to do. So it's a process that you, again, you have to embrace. And naturally, it takes time. But if you strongly believe in what you do, you're going to get there for sure.
Yeah, definitely. What's the biggest success that you've had since niching down?
The biggest success, I would say that it's my strategy. You know, the way I put it together and position myself as the expert, you know, as the studio, we started to publish more content which is relevant to our community, to the community we want to work with. And then we have seen the result by doing that, you know, by putting work out there which is relevant. We had seen people that have contacted us, and we had a lot of discussion, and we are going to work on a few projects starting from September, which is related to our community, to our niche. So the big success is like to and challenge as well, you know, success for, but it was a challenge in the first place, was to put a strategy plan that worked and could make us visible as the expert in the field.
Yeah, so the projects that are coming to you now, what do you attribute those to and these results?
Yeah, you know, the clients that contacted us, to us, they said that, well, our content that we publish weekly, basically they noticed it. We did like a little GIF, animated GIF for World Oceans Day or like a Garden Wildlife Week. And these were little animation that were offering value in terms of like advice about how to build, I don't know, like a hedgehog house, for example, or a birdhouse. And those were like, we created this content, this animation, then we linked some useful information for the WWF, how to build these houses. And basically, this animation were like attracting a lot of people interest. And one of these, or actually three of these, contacted us saying, "No, we saw your animation, and we are interested in talking about the way we could present our story and our report in the future." And we basically had a conversation, then we agreed on an animation we're going to start in September. So yeah, that was grateful.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I remember you mentioning that in our accelerator group, and I was just so proud. I was like, yeah, it's happening. You know, the things are coming together and it's kind of making sense. And I feel like over time, what will happen too is it will start to kind of snowball as well, because then obviously when you do that animation for that company, then they might recommend you to another one and that kind of thing. And then this is how you kind of make a name for yourself and sort of become the animation studio for that industry, you know. So I'm really excited to see where this goes as well.
Yeah, because for example with direct clients, you know, it's very important because they want to see work that you as a studio produce which are relevant in line with what they do. So it's very important to produce work if you want to attract similar clients, work with similar organization in my case. So yeah, 100%. Yeah, that goes down as well to the fact that when I produced the animation for the Blue Cross, because that led us to other opportunities as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really good. So what you would say to someone who's thinking about it is maybe looking at themes around their ideal client or niche, and potentially, I think that maybe as well, they could think about, well, what problems are these clients trying to solve, and how can you maybe give them like a little piece of that in a social media post or something like that, you know, maybe talking a bit about how animation can help them to solve those problems too.
For example, one of the things I often do, and we do as a studio, is to look into the social media platform and see what content they are launching out there. And for example, if it is like a report, which is like a written report, you can propose, for example, and reach out to this client, this organization, and say, you see, you know, we have a few ideas that we can translate and transform this written content into a nicely explained video, animated video that can engage even more people than what you currently have. So again, it's about offering value and perhaps proposing to them like few ideas on a mood board or something like that. And they are interested for sure, you know, even though it's not like straight away. But again, it's an opportunity to reach out and see, you know, I'm out there we do this, and perhaps in the future, you might be the right person to help us.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a really great idea. So I know you went on a podcast as well that was aimed at people in the nature conservation industry. How did that come about? Because I think that's a really interesting idea of getting opportunities that almost present you to many of your clients instead of just going after like one person in that industry.
Yes. So that was, that is a really good question, because that really make you think about how connection works. For example, I'm part of a hub called Wild Hub. It's a place where all conservationists, people that care about the environment, experts in the sector, they hang out. You know, they connect, they talk about the webinars, reports. So I was invited there by a conservation optimist in Oxford. And once there, I reached out, actually, a guy reached out to me. And we had a conversation. This guy produced like comic books about the planet, the conservation. And basically, he introduced me to Calvin, which that is podcast. It's called Calvin Conservation with the Species. We are the Species. And so basically, this led to me to have a conversation, to have this. I was a guest at his podcast. So you see how connection works. You know a person that invites you to a group. Within that group, you meet another person, that you have a chat, and then this person introduces you to another one. So it's all about relationships. You know, you really see the potential of this. And you never know that perhaps someone watching the podcast with Calvin, Conservation with the Species, might look at my interview and might reach out to me. So again, it's always a connection, and it's a chain, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's really smart to do things where you're presenting to like many people. So for example, like any talks that you could do, maybe that were in kind of these, maybe they have like, I don't know, nature conservation conferences or something like that, or potentially like podcasts and like YouTube channels, like we already mentioned. And also potentially something that we talked about too is you know, creating a webinar or workshop around how animation can help in nature conservation. And obviously if for anyone else, it would be like how animation could help in any industry, you know, and how it can directly solve their problems, because then you're teaching them how your service can help them solve the problems that they have. And I think that's a really interesting idea that I know a few of our students are exploring, including you. And I think I just think it's really exciting, and I can't wait to see the results of those as well.
Yeah, definitely. You know, again, it goes down to offering values. And again, even though you go like do a webinar, either online or in person, you have the opportunity to meet people and make connection. And it doesn't matter whether it is lead you to straight away to opportunities, but it's an opportunity for you to be out there and to reach people and to reach to people. You know, at the beginning, it was kind of uncomfortable doing these kind of things. But if you see result, it's something that comes out of hard work. And I would actually point out that if you see to see results, you need to work hard. But in order to work hard, you need to be passionate about what you do. So it's very key. You know, if you want to put the effort in what you do, for example, I tend to work late at night and early in the morning, but that always comes to me as something that I do it because I love it at the times by. So again, it's about passion.
Yeah, definitely. What would you say to a person who's looking to niche down? What advice would you give them?
I would say that the first thing to do is to read books about the niche you want to aim to work with. Try to connect with people relevant to your niche, trying to reach out. Again, don't be too salesy. But try to generally reach out and say that you are an expert, yet you are passionate about what you do. Because for me, I'm an environmental enthusiast first. And then because of that, because this is what I love and what I want to put all my effort in, that relates generates a connection with the person you're trying to reach out, because you have something in common. You know, when you reach to someone new, you know, on LinkedIn or by email, it's always better to find a connection, you know. And if that connection is part of your passion, that's way easier, and people will see that eventually.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. So what does the future hold for Motion Aptitude then?
We want to grow as a studio. We want to grow as a studio again in a way that's it's different from the conventional way of working. You know, we love remote working, and we truly believe that it's a bridge to a higher quality of life. So I like to continue working with other freelancers all around Europe and the world, because that's the way we love working with. And then people that are passionate about the environment and people that are passionate about something that we have to, you know, not just raise awareness, but we need to take action on. So if you can combine your skills with something you love with, now we're happy to work with these people as well. And again, we are always keen to work with an organization that help the environment and look at the animal well-being as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. So if people want to find out more about you and your work and your studio, where can they go?
They can go to our website, motionaptitude.com, and they can see the work we do, our mission, our vision, and our purpose there. And then our mail is hello@motionaptitude.com. And I'm on LinkedIn as well.
Great. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Giuseppe. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Eddie, for inviting me. That was great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening all the way to the end of this show. If you would like more from Motion Hatch, we are doing weekly videos over on our YouTube channel. You can check those out at motionhatch.com/YouTube. We will be coming back with more podcasts soon, but in the meantime, we'll see you over on the YouTube channel. Thanks so much for listening. I appreciate you. See ya.